clear. Lovely to hear you again.
So long a time since last we spoke together.
Nearly a year.
And yet I suppose it is as naught. Time in itself is of little consequence to us. But it alters not the fact that by being in constant contact with you, I am aware of time through your consciousness.
Yes.
And I know the desirings of your heart, and that there are moments when you think how nice it would be to speak to Brother John.
Well, I want to send it out, you see.
Yes, I know, child. It's very difficult.
If I haven't got anything to say, it's awkward.
Nevertheless, child, the work continues.
Yes.
In spite of all the adversities and the complexities of the material life in which you exist.
It's worse than this.
Nevertheless, in spite of all these things that cause great concern, the work of the Spirit continues.
Yes.
It is like a light in the darkness of the materialism of your existence. The world causes us great stress of mind and of spirit. And yet, nevertheless, in spite of all these complexities of life in which you have to play your part, there are moments when the light illumines and makes possible the path of the spirit for you to tread. You may sometimes feel that it is like a pebble in the ocean, and yet nevertheless, the conditions which are created by the work of the Spirit, arousing interest, and here and there giving individuals the realization of these truths, it spreads far and wide, as I've often said to you, you know not what oft times comes into being by the sowing of a seed, though some may fall on the stony ground. Yet much is nurtured and brought forth, and though you may not see the fruition of some of your labors, yet even so, many are blessed, many are guided, many are uplifted, many are inspired.
I've got some friends, one's joined the Jehovah's Witnesses, and others haven't, but they all keep quoting what Jesus was supposed to have said, that when there's wars and all this, this means the end of the world and he's coming again, and I don't believe any of that.
Child, I do not think that anyone who realizes the truths of the Spirit, the infallible proofs, could possibly accept some of these things that are voiced abroad. Christ came into the world to show the path of spiritual attainment and achievement. He demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit. He gave forth to those of his time great knowledge, great insight into the things that are eternal. And of course, man has construed and put upon the words of the Spirit things which have no bearing, which are purely a material conception. I would not be disturbed about these things, child. For each and every soul, no matter what his faith or belief or persuasion of a religious nature, eventually all shall find truth. And of course, if they find the truth while yet upon the earth, then, of course, for them it is a great blessing, and they can be of great service, and they are greatly comforted by it. But there will always be those who, quite unconsciously, misconstrue. And, of course, one must always bear in mind that that which is oft-times given out as gospel, though there is a basis of truth, and many things have been retained in the book, yet nevertheless, much has been altered, much has been misconstrued. Man has put his own seal upon it and his own interpretation.
That must be sad, mustn't it, for Christ and people like that who tried to bring truth and then find it perverted.
My dear child, all through man's history, since time immemorial, when there has been a glimmer of truth, when there has been a ray of light in the darkness of men's minds, unfortunately men have closed it and have developed it in the material states, oftentimes to their own material advantage. The history of the Church, as you probably well know, is fraught with all manner and kind of things which have caused great concern through men's history. The Church, unfortunately, went through a period of change from the early Christians who, in their simplicity and in their tremendous faith, faced death willingly, knowing that life was eternal, knowing that there was no such thing as death, only that which seems so. No man may kill the material, he cannot kill the spiritual. But unfortunately the Church formed itself in such a way that power became its god. One could go into depth on the misinterpretation of the teachings of the Christ, how man has used the teachings and the word of God for their own ends. The purity of the spirit is what we are aiming for. That man may know of it and demonstrate it and live it and become truly a part of it.
Will it ever happen?
Here and there, child, there are those whose eyes have been opened, the scales have dropped from their eyes, and they see with a clearer vision, not through a glass darkly, but coming face to face.
I'm not so but I want to know.
Well, child, it's not for me or anyone here to prophesy in the sense that the masses of the world shall accept fully and understandably these things of which we speak, but here and there there will be individuals and groups who will arise, who will make their mark, who will blaze the trail all through man's history. There have been individuals and there have been small groups of peoples who have blazed a trail and have taken upon themselves the responsibility of doing these things of which we speak, but I regret to say it is most unlikely that the whole world will come together in true brotherhood. Certainly we do not envisage it in the near future. I think this is asking too much. There is too much turmoil, too much stress, too much turning the back upon the things of the spirit. Man has become even more materialistic, and it is a very sad decline.
Now, to change the subject, could you tell me about your last incarnation? Because you told me you had one. You had two since Glastonbury, and I don't know anything about either of them, except the first one was in Italy, I think.
Yes, child, but it can serve little purpose, but if you are that concerned...
No, absolutely, in your hands.
My last incarnation was in the time of Louis the 16th in France.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a complete reversal of my previous existence. Indeed, in some respects, on looking back, I realized it was necessary for me to go through that phase that I might, by experience, see, as you might say, the other side of the coin. You know, I had to live in an environment which was, to me, completely at variance with my inner states of self, my inner realization of things eternal and spiritual. Actually, I was an abbé, but I was caught up, as many were at that period in time, with those of wealth and substance who, in many respects, though they supported the Church, had little time for it. And I, for a number of years, was attached to the court. And although, perhaps, in a sense, I succumbed to the materialism around and about me, it was not necessarily an unwise or bad thing. Yet I seem to speak slightly at variances because I find it extremely difficult to define exactly what I wish to convey. Of course, you know that the revolution came and thousands of peoples of all ranks, but mostly the aristocracy, used them, lost their lives. I was attached to a small church just outside Versailles, and oft times I would be in attendance at the court itself in a very minor position, and I saw many of the things that helped, probably, almost certainly, to bring about the revolution. And in my own way, I endeavored to be of service. But it was a strange existence, because to some extent one had to bow to the power that was then very much in command. I do not necessarily mean the power of King Louis, who in many respects was a person who was blinded by the events that were taking place around him. Much was kept from him. He was a man of simplicity in spite of background and education. He was a man who enjoyed his own way of life. He was not unaware, perhaps to some extent, of the less fortunate, but everything was left in the hands of his ministers, and all around him were those who were sympathetic. And I think that in some instances he endeavoured to do what he felt was the right thing, but he was so remote, so unfortunately separated from his people by the very circumstances in which he found himself and the way of life which had become tradition.
And how did that help your advance?
Because I think it did help, because I was living in a sense, I suppose you might call it, a dual existence. I was having to some extent to accept the position in which I found myself, acquiesce on the surface perhaps to some extent to the things that were taken for granted around and about me, but in a different sense I was using my knowledge and what little power I had to assist and help those who were less fortunate and those who would listen. Those indeed, in certain instances, in high places, I was able to help and to give them an indication of certain things which I think played some part. I would not like to suggest by this that I was in any way caught up with the revolutionists, but it did not alter the fact that I could see to some extent, though I did not agree with the method and that which transpired, yet nevertheless I could see there were moral grounds for the dissension, moral grounds for the revolution in itself. The poverty, of course, in those days was extreme. Thousands of people were living, barely existing, hardly with any real sustenance.
Well, that's today, it's the same, isn't it?
Yes, in certain countries. You see, history repeats itself, child, and this seems to me something which cannot be avoided. But nevertheless, a certain amount of work is done, certain seeds are sown. Out of all this dissension and unhappiness, out of all the bigotry, out of all the suppression of that period, came the uprising. And you find that in the world today you have the same thing happening. Sometimes it is not always justified. I do not justify violence. Do not think for one moment that I justify violence. But nevertheless, looking back on my last incarnation, I realized that it was necessary and essential that I should have lived as I did live and do what I had to do. I think I benefited from it in all ways and one, and I hope and I think many others did in my immediate surroundings. Fortunately, the revolution barely touched me. I did not lose my life through the revolution itself. In fact, I lived to a ripe old age and died, as you would say, in harness.
Mm. I read a book the other day, and it said that our spirit was like an iceberg, and we only came back part of it, and the rest of us were still in spirit, and it was like a facet that came back to perfect a certain part. Is that true?
Well, in a sense it's true, and in a sense it's not so. I think it is the terminology that complicates. I think that one has to bear in mind that one's spiritual self is many-faceted, like a diamond, if one can so liken it, rough-hewn, perhaps. But nevertheless, we are many peoples, in a sense, and each one is an aspect of the true self. I think here people are inclined to think of themselves in their different existences as different individuals, which in a sense they are, but it's all the same divine spirit that animates, it's all the same spirit that creates and makes possible the eventual whole, if I can put it in that fashion. You see, the point is that we have to experience many things, we had to go through many phases, we had to gradually ascend, and sometimes it's even necessary to ascend to learn from the experience of past events, which sometimes have not been particularly helpful, or so it seems at the time, or particularly pleasant. Indeed, I think it is true to say that we have to enter into certain experiences which are decidedly depressing and also difficult, and perhaps to some extent very depressing and very disturbing to learn. We have to, you see, you can only learn and appreciate and feel and know and understand life when you've got through the varying situations that life can present. In other words, you cannot really assist any other soul or feel and understand and know that particular circumstance or condition unless you yourself have experienced it. And you see, many lives, and I do not necessarily mean many lives on earth, but there are many lives to be lived in the realms of spirit. You see, I don't think we can ever explain this fully, but you must remember that we are a conglomeration, if I can so use that expression, of individual thoughts, individual actions, individual feelings and emotions and expressions, and we're all part, really, of the other. We cannot completely divorce ourselves from the rest of the world and the peoples of the world, or worlds even. We have our individual lives, and they're all part of the same spiritual realization and evolution and development of the whole. I wish it were possible, but you see, the point is to explain these things in the material language. You see, you are Daisy Judge to all outward appearances. People who know you refer to you as Daisy. You have known and lived with yourself for many years. You have seen changes in your environment. You've seen changes in your experience. You have seen changes in your personality and to some extent your character. And you are, in a sense, while yet living in one body, many Daisy Judge. Because, you see, you were a Daisy Judge at 10, you were a Daisy Judge at 20, and so on.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look back, you think to yourself, not only you, but every human being, more or less, I suppose, on reflection, thinks, my goodness me, was that really me? Did I really behave like that? Mm-hmm. Did I really think like that? Did I act like that? We all have many, many changes in our evolution, state of evolution. And often it is essential for some, at least particularly, and indeed some choose to return to birth to do a specific work, to learn as best they can through experience certain things that they did not experience or learn in a previous life. But the point is this, that we can, on this side of life, recall many of our older selves, or old selves, and bring them into focus, as it were, and we can experience again, and we can learn from all the many things that have transpired and happened. You see, the point is, we are talking about eternal life. We are talking about eternity in itself. When one tries to imagine it, it's beyond our comprehension. Because even we on this side, who have progressed to some extent and have had many past experiences, when we look backwards, we gather together all manner and kind of impressions, all manner and kind of experiences that have helped to develop us to the point at which we've now reached. And then we can take our minds reflectively back. It is almost impossible to look forward. We know that there is more yet to come, many experiences yet to have, many, many things to be gained. We do not see round the corner, but we can see backwards on the straight path. But we cannot see that which is round the corner. And then in regard to our own affairs, in regard to our own lives, we know there are other states of being to which we shall eventually come to realize and come to accept and become part of. The beauty, I suppose, of eternal realization is the fact that there is always something fresh, always something new, always something interesting and exciting yet to be experienced, yet to be gained. There comes a point, I suppose, when we look back upon the earth and say, well, we have experienced all that it is possible to experience from that particular existence, that earthly existence. And it's as if you've assimilated all that it can offer, and if you have in consequence discarded many things, and you have held tight to other things that have helped you in your evolution and development, and it's because you are in that position, having assimilated so much by experience in past existences, that you are in a position to return to Earth in this fashion, to communicate, that is, not to return in a body. One can help souls on Earth. One can help them in many, many ways. One can advise them, one can guide them, one can instruct them, one can uplift them. And in some instances where necessary, because of our past experiences of material things, in many, many ways, we are often able to help them in a material sense. That doesn't mean to say that we necessarily do this to the extent that perhaps even some people would like us to do. We cannot necessarily always help you in the ordinary and the mundane, but there are times in lives of individuals when they are in great need of advice. It may be a combination of material and spiritual advice they need as to which path they should tread, which way they should go, because oftentimes the path for one is not the same path as for another. What would be right for one would not necessarily be right for another. Sometimes some people are anxious to avoid pitfalls, as you term them. And of course, if we can help them to avoid a pitfall, that would be disastrous, or that would be detrimental to them in the material or spiritual sense, particularly spiritual, we will endeavor to advise them and help them. But there are times, of course, when we realize that a person has to, what you term, suffer, because it is necessary, because out of that suffering, whatever form it may take, good shall come. We have to see things in the eventual completion, or at least an aspect of its completion, as to whether it is being worth the effort or whether it is for the good. For oftentimes the things that are for the good, from the material point of view, do not necessarily seem so, because sometimes it entails sacrifice, sometimes it entails taking what appears on the surface to be a lonely path, or it means rejecting certain things which in a material sense, particularly for some people, are important or of value. one must learn, of course, in the material world to get one's priorities right.
Mm.
What is necessary? What is essential? What is really worth having and holding fast to? You see, so many people base their lives on material possessions, material things, which are, to them, perhaps, temporarily at least important, but they can only have a substance materially. They have no substance spiritually.
Mm.
One has to learn what to throw overboard when a ship is sinking, or appears to be sinking, and the only way to keep it afloat is to unload it. Of all the things which possibly, from the point of view of the cargo, are considered to be treasures, but if it is a matter of saving one's existence, one's life, then the treasures are thrown overboard and the ship may not be so heavy and therefore may not sink. And only materially people would realize there are many things that are not so essential or so important. And then to cast them aside, it would be like casting a burden off one's back.
Mm.
And one would walk more lightly and more freely. And one would be able, instead of being overbent by the weight of these things, stand upright and see clearly the path of spiritual truth and spiritual progression. What I'm trying to say, of course, is not new. I think anyone of any real intelligence who's spiritually anxious for progression realizes only too well that at times the things that hold one back and makes it so that instead of walking clearly and freely and lightly, you are overbent and overweighed, and your footsteps falter, and you fall off times by the wayside because of the weight of the material things, which are of no real value or importance. The thing is to know what to discard. But you, child, you're not overladen, you're not overburdened. You have sufficient to the day thereof. You are not lacking. You're helped and you're guided. And I know that the path is sure, and that though there is yet time to go, and there will be work yet to be done, when the time comes to step out of the body of the flesh, when the spirit is released, there will be caused a great rejoicing, not only by yourself, but by all of us here that have worked with you constantly through the years, patiently, and we know that we have done that which we had to do.
That's just a point. You're not disappointed with me.
Child, why should you think that I should be disappointed? Do you think for one moment that any of us here are perfect? Therefore, why should we expect perfection in those whom we love on earth? We are conscious, we are aware of the mistakes that sometimes are made, or the little foibles, and the little stupidities, if I may say, use an expression of the instruments that we use and the peoples that we endeavor to help. We know that the world in which you live is difficult, it is trying. There are times when one fails or appears to fail oneself, but we understand. We too trod the earth. We too knew all the complexities and the problems and the difficulties and the heartaches and the sorrows. And we know that we cannot anticipate. We cannot anticipate that an instrument that we use or anyone that we are concerned with upon earth should be perfection.
Yeah. I remember you saying years ago, we pin all our hopes on you, and then I think how inadequate I am.
Nonsense. You're not inadequate, far from it. There are times when the power of the spirit is stronger, or at least seems to be more able to be demonstrative. But the point is, child, that you are subject, like all human beings yet upon earth, subject to influences, though you may resist them and throw them aside, and of times you do with success, it alters not the fact that occasionally the conditions around and about one, even sometimes when you've taken the platform, the environment in the church itself is not always conducive.
No.
I'm not saying that any particular one person is to blame, But you see, there are so many, unfortunately, who, though they say they are spiritually aware or spiritually inclined, or they may call themselves spiritualists, many of them, I regret to say, are very much, as it were, on the surface. There is little depth. There are many, I regret to say, who have not discovered what this is all about. It is not just the message that is important. The message is important, especially in some cases, in initial stages when one is searching for truth. The message helps, the message encourages, the message comforts. But it is what the individual themselves, deep down within themselves, are, or what they have become. Has the message influenced them so that they too, to some extent, have thrown overboard many of the material conceptions and many of the material things that once held them enchained? Have we freed them from the chains of material things? Have we given them the realization of the truth of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit? Are they attending the church or the society because they want to open up even more to the wisdom of the Spirit? Or are they there because they may get a message? Oftentimes a message more of a material nature than a spiritual one. We see, child, it all boils down to one word, and that is balance.
Yes.
Have balance between the things of the earth and the things of the Spirit. As Christ said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are of God. Child, you are an instrument greatly blessed, and I value you and the work that is done with you and through you, as indeed do many others on both sides of the veil. Go forward, child, with a renewed strength, for the realization that the power of the Spirit cannot fail, for this power of the Spirit is such that all things are possible. Nothing can overtake the things that are of God, for they shall truly make things always, in wisdom and in truth, the reality. You, child, have been blessed in so many ways. Go forward in strength, have no doubts, no fears, no qualms. Know that the peace and the love of the Spirit is with you. And though you may have at times moments of depression or sadness, these things pass. The cloud is lifted and the sun shines. Child, all is well with you. Do the work as thou hast done in the past. Serve humanity to the best of your ability. Though you may sometimes feel you have failed, nevertheless, there have been many occasions when you have succeeded. Don't doubt, don't fear. Have strength and know that we cannot fail. For that which we do together is greater than ourselves. We are but the servants of a higher force, a higher power. We truly are the children of the living Spirit, and all things are possible by the power of it. Peace be with you, child. Let us go. Farewell.
Thank you. I must say, you always get a smashing message.
Thank you, Mickey.
Well, then you deserve it. You're an odd little thing, really.
No.
Take anyway, all the best. Bye-bye.